This is episode 28 of Trash Talking with Eco Warriors featuring Carmen Gamma of Eileen Fisher.
You're tuning in to Trash Talking with Eco Warriors, where women share inspiring stories about their careers in green business, sustainability, and conservation. Here's your host and founder of Trashy Beauty, Barbara Lee.
Eileen Fisher is one of those brands that has been around for quite some time, since 1984 to be exact, and she made quite a splash with her innovative, simple pieces that were meant to be the antithesis of fashion at the time. More than just breaking the mold, Eileen Fisher has been focused on sustainability, and 10 years ago this month, they launched the Renew program. In the last decade, customers of this brand have returned 1.2 million garments back to the company. These pieces have been resold or recycled into new garments or even artwork. We're joined in this episode by Carmen Gamma, the design and production manager for the Renew program. Carmen got her start at Eileen Fisher in the most unusual way, by winning a contest while studying at the Parsons New School of Design. Her project landed her a fellowship with Eileen Fisher, where she and two other colleagues were thrown into the Renew factory and told to figure out what to do with the 35% of garments that were returned but were not fit for resale. Over the past 3 years, Carmen has helped to divert millions of garments from the landfill. As someone who loves thrift stores, natural fabrics, and simple modular clothing, the mission of the folks at Eileen Fisher really resonated with me. I hope you learn a thing or two about fashion and how fabrics can be broken down into their component parts from this conversation. Let's get trash talking. So Carmen, welcome to Trash Talking.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, we're excited as well. If you could tell our audience what it is that you do and who you are, that would be great.
Hi, I'm Carmen Gamma. I am the designer and production manager at Renew at Eileen Fisher.
Cool. And can you tell us more about what Renew is?
So Renew is the Eileen Fisher Take Back program, where we started in 2009 by just collecting the garments from the employees. And in 2013, we asked the customers to bring back their clothing so we can actually give them a $5 coupon. And what we do is like we clean all of these garments, and the ones that they're in perfect condition, we resell. And then the ones that they're damaged, we have a couple of solutions for them.
So tell us more about when this program started and what the need was for the program.
It started in 2009, very organically by a CEO. It's like one of the first employees that Eileen Fisher had, you know, with this idea of just starting to have vintage garments in Eileen Fisher stores. So, you know, we employees from Eileen Fisher, we have a lot of Eileen Fisher clothes in our wardrobe, so it sparked with the idea, like, why don't we just start collecting those garments that the employees by themselves, they don't want anymore, right? Mm-hmm. So we just started in a closet very randomly at an office in Irvington, New York, and then Eileen saw that the garments were in really good condition and that actually people were buying them. So in 2013, they say, like, well, why don't we just offer it to everybody, you know, all of our customers. So that's when they launched like a campaign that it was called, "We Will Like Our Clothes Back, Thank You Very Much." And I know. And since then, since 2009, we've collected over 1.2 million garments. And basically how it started. And the reason is also because as part of our zero waste goals, and our vision 2020, you know, to not only to look at how we're making garments, but how to be responsible for those garments that we put out there in the world. So, you know, so that's why we're collecting our garments and like trying them to make them, either resell them or trying to use them as raw material to create new product to really close the loop by using them to design new garments, and then, you know, they come back to us.
Can you kind of walk us through what a circular economy would look like for the fashion industry?
Well, the ideal. I feel like circularity, it's like a big word, right? And I feel like it has a lot of different meanings on
depending on
the company, yeah. Right? So for us, or at least on my ideal world, it will be like you're designing garments that they already have a second, third, and fourth life plan. So you are using the right materials that when they come back to you, when the customer no longer want it, or it's like totally damaged, or you cannot repair it, like it comes back to you to be used as raw material to create new product. So in this case, you're actually not using a lot of virgin resources that can be used for other things like food. So that's kind of like a continuous circle.
Yeah. And so what happens to the Eileen Fisher garments in particular when they come back?
We receive about 20 boxes a day in one of our recycling centers, but we have two recycling centers, one in Irvington, New York, and the other one in Seattle, Washington. So just in the Irvington recycling center, we get about 10,000 garments a month. So what we do is like first we have, the first step is to inspect the garments, right? And see what's sellable and what's not sellable. And then if they make this decision, if it's sellable, then it gets sorted into different categories before they go into laundry. So everything, you know, either in each category, if it's sellable or non-sellable, everything gets washed. So after it gets washed, and some of these garments get dry cleaned because, you know, it's like beautiful silks or beautiful cashmeres that it doesn't make sense for us to put them in industrial washing machines because then they become damaged.
Right.
We were trying to look into other solutions, but for the moment, we're just using a local green cleaners. And also we use like a local facility that washes our garments industrially. So yeah, so once the garments come back to us, about 65% of those garments we sell back. Our standard sellability are extremely high, so the garments are like new. And actually within those 65% of that we sell back, there's a percentage that is what we call not quite perfect. So these are garments that have like a slight flaw in the garment. It can be like a tiny hole, you know, a tiny pool. But we still think that these garments can be worn. And I actually, personally, that's all I wear. Not quite perfect garments or extremely damaged garments, because I mean, I feel like they have its own characters and they're like more fun to wear and they're unique. But yeah, so we have these not quite perfect category that we are actually trying to expand a lot. And then, so that's for the sellability. And then for the damage inventory, we have a couple solutions for them because, I mean, our inventory is very big and there's no one solution that can address all of it. So the first one that we do is we try to, you know, just repair, like by doing visual mending or over dye, you know, to cover all these stains or like holes or pools, right? And then that's one category. And then the second category is that we use the actual garments as textile. And that's where I come in place. Like I'm the designer of these collections. So I make scalable collections made entirely from damaged garments. So we create these collections and that's what we are calling the Resewn collection. But it's like remanufacturing. We used to remanufacture them at a factory that we had in New York that it was called the Tiny Factory. I mean, we still have that factory, but it serves different purposes right now. Right now, what I'm like really tasked is to do everything that we used to do in-house for making these collections happen, take them outside. So we are working with local factories that actually produce the garments from Eileen Fisher that we're using now as a second hand garment. So we're giving them back those garments that they sew and then say like, instead of being a pant in the first life, now it's going to become a jacket. So it's really funny because the guys were like, oh my God, I used to sew like a very simple pant and now you're giving me like a 10 pattern, you know, jacket. But, you know, like that's how we're working and it's actually working pretty well.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that first collection is going to launch in September.
Yeah.
It's the first time that we're producing at a local factory, so it should be really interesting. And we're only going to sell it on Instagram, which is another test. You know, everything that we do, because there's no book, really everything is just like a test. And if it doesn't work, we move on. So yeah, so that's for the remanufacturing. And the third thing that we do as the one that we're focusing a lot, putting a lot of our resources and energy right now, is kind of creating felting fabric. So we have a huge industrial felting machine that has like thousands of needles. So that basically blends the fibers together to create a new fabric. So Siggy Ol, who is the creative director of Design Work, which is the program that it's called Design Work, she creates like beautiful art pieces. But also what we produce is like we design accessories, home goods and potentially in the future garments made with these textiles. And the last thing that we do is fiber to fiber recycling, which is when we open the garments to a fiber level and then just use it, blend it with new raw material to create new fabric. And then we've done that with our silk, and we're in the process of doing with our cotton. That just creates new textile that the mainline designers can use to produce new garments that they're sold at Eileen Fisher. So that's kind of our four things that we do with the damaged inventory. And even so, out of the damaged inventory, we still have like a 20% of that garments that we have no solution for. And, you know, it's like garments with spandex or all of the trims, because we deconstruct everything that we get to use for all of these solutions. So mm-hmm. the waistbands, yes, the selvages, we don't have a solution for them, but we don't throw anything away. So we're like drowning in pre-consumer trims from our own factories and, you know, garments that we have no solution for.
Yeah, and so this is the really interesting part, right? Because the idea is to make everything circular, and I know that there's certain fabrics, like you mentioned, cotton and silk, anything that's 100% immaterial is quite easy to reuse or to break down into a raw material. But there's mm-hmm. obviously all of these blends, especially blends that are made with like spandex and polyester, that can't mm-hmm. really be broken down or reused into something. So is this then kind of like a feedback loop into how you're thinking about designing pieces in general for the future?
Yes, of course. That's super important. The only thing that I just want to add before is like these cotton garments that we're using do have like a 90% cotton and 10% spandex. So we are working with a company that actually has a capacity to open the fibers with that much spandex, which is really nice. But the rest, we do give a lot of feedback to the mainline designers. And we still haven't figured out the right structure or the right process of how to communicate about all the information that we get together. You know, like we receive garments that we get pretty much the same damage because it looks like a construction damage, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. or like fabric, the damage is the same way. So we have all of this information that I feel like companies will die for. So we're gathering our own information, kind of like our own library of how to solve these issues. And we do pass some information, but again, it's just like we're trying to figure out how to communicate. We have an internal team that is called Circle by Design. It's basically one member of each of the Eileen Fisher teams where we meet like once a month or twice a month, and we're like trying to make sense what circularity means for Eileen Fisher and what are the next steps, what can we do to solve certain issues. And this is like kind of like the space where we get to share these issues together.
Yeah, cool. That's stuff that interests me, even like as both a consumer and someone who's extremely conscious and informed about these things. Like, for example, like when summer hit, I really wanted to find 100% linen clothing, and mm-hmm. it was extremely difficult. I think I found one item that was 100% linen that I felt okay purchasing, mm-hmm. and then everything else was blended. But then I realized that with this linen top that I have, it has no stretch to it. So I'm actually mm-hmm. finding that it's pulling in the shoulder area. And so, mm-hmm. you know, this is a bigger issue. It's like I could buy a garment that would last me for longer because it has basically, you know, stretch worked into the material. Or I can buy this garment that I know can be 100% recycled, but might not last me as long.
Yeah. I mean, well, the first thing that I'm going to say, I mean, you can buy, we have a lot of 100% linen in our main line, or at Eileen Fisher Renew. You can go to eileenfisherrenew.com and you can find like beautiful linen pieces, like a you know, at a good price. That's the thing. I feel like we have to invest from the very beginning. I feel like we need to invest in garments that they're more durable. Because durability, it's like a sustainability aspect, because these garments actually last longer in your wardrobe and they end up less in the landfill. So I feel like that's something that I always go for. I tend to buy secondhand all of the time, but I feel like recently jeans. I recently bought like 3 pair of jeans, but they're like super durable. So I'm like, okay, these jeans are going to last me forever. So, you know, I feel like we have to make choices where we invest a little bit more money in garments that are actually going to last more in our wardrobe, that they're going to end up faster in the landfill.
Yeah, no, super cool. Why is this important to you? I know that you went to Parsons and studied fashion and design, and that this is obviously something that you've kind of launched and taken a hold of at Eileen Fisher, but why is environmental and circular design for fashion so important to you?
Well, it's because there's two things that really overwhelm me when I found out about these, actually. First of all, is that the huge amount of resources that this industry uses and wastes just to produce these garments that they're going to end up in the landfill pretty quickly. And the other one is like how consumers, we dispose of garments extremely quickly. So we are clogging up the landfills with resources that totally can be used to produce new garments. So once I learned about all of these challenges, I didn't want to be part of the problem. I just want to be part of the solution. So while I was in Parsons, I was surrounded by these teachers that truly opened my eyes to what, you know, was the industry. And I said, like, well, I'm still love designing. I still love making beautiful garments. But if I was going to continue doing that, at least they have to propose a solution rather than continue to contribute. So always focusing on making garments out of post or pre-consumer waste.
And so how do consumers benefit from this? Because it sounds like there's a huge benefit to the company. I can't imagine that you're producing all of this at a profit. You're welcome to correct me if I'm wrong. You know, there's obviously like a bigger end goal through all of this.
So we're actually profitable. The resale part of Renew and our take back program is profitable. The damaged inventory, all of these solutions that we're proposing, I mean, except the fiber to fiber recycling, because that has gone back to the mainline and we've actually sold pretty well these styles that they make from our silk garments. That's profitable. The other ones, we're still on the process of making scalable and figuring out the right system, the right venues to sell these garments and, you know, the right processes, because like I said before, there's really no book on how to do this. So we're like, it's all like a trial and error.
I love that you guys are doing this at a profit, because I think that is the way to make something like this modeled into businesses a sustainable model. But how do consumers benefit from bringing their garments back to Eileen Fisher?
Well, monetarily, they actually don't benefit a lot. I feel like the benefit that they get is that they get to contribute to a bigger cost rather than just getting the $5 back. Because without our customers, we wouldn't be here, right? Mm-hmm. If they were not bringing back their garments, we wouldn't have a take back program functioning. So these $5 that they're giving, they can actually not bring them back to us. They can go and bring them back to a consignment store and probably get a lot more money. But they come to us because they know that we're making something with them, that we're responsible for these garments. So that's kind of like the customers that they bring back the garments, right?
Yeah.
All of these customers, too, come to our Renew stores, because we have two, one in Irvington, New York, and the other one in Seattle. Like, they come back to us with bags full of garments, and then they continue to shop these Renew garments, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like they're benefiting from buying beautiful Eileen Fisher garments at a lower cost and then having unique pieces that they're not going to find in the mainline. So they're kind of like using Renew as like a scavenger hunt of like finding these treasures, you know, that like, oh, you know. And also we have these customers saying like, oh my God, I used to have these such a long time ago, and they just buy it, you know, because it's unique. So they're benefiting from getting these beautiful garments at a lower price. And I feel like these garments have a bigger story now because they've been worn by somebody else.
So how do you think that this can be scaled? Because obviously you're sitting here telling me that companies can profit from taking clothing back and even giving consumers money to incentivize them into this behavior. I'm just sitting here kind of wondering, why doesn't every company do this?
Costs a lot of money and resources from the company. So it takes a big effort, and it takes top leaders of a company to adapt and get on board with this idea. You know, because even internally, we have a lot of challenges. We might be proposing solutions, but we have to sell those ideas, even internally. Mm-hmm. So we actually give a lot of tours to big companies, like H&M Innovation Lab team was here, tour the factory and learn from our operations, because they want to take something from us, learn from it and adapt it. But also a lot of companies have learned they want to work or they want to partner with other companies that they're offering this as a service, you know, because they don't want to take on the responsibility of their own take back program. So there's companies like the Renewal Workshop, Yertle, that they're offering these take back programs for other companies so they don't have to own their own. It's totally doable. The other day I read an article that's saying like, the resale market is growing up to 40% per year. So, I mean, whoever is not embracing this, I feel like it's kind of left behind. I mean, now Macy's and JCPenney, they're partnering up with The RealReal to have them at their own stores. So it's just only growing.
Yeah. And maybe like pick one of your favorite garments that you've seen go through the renewal program and kind of walk us through step by step how that garment goes from a first design to wherever its life ends. Saw a picture of what it looks like, but I can't quite like visualize it. So it'd be really cool to hear kind of like what that process is like.
Yeah, of course. Let's talk about the life of a wool sweater, 100% wool sweater. So it gets designed at our studio. Our knit designers, you know, choose the right yarns, the right colors. So it gets produced in a factory, either overseas or here locally in LA. And then the customer buys it, you know, wears it for a couple seasons or a couple years, and maybe a moth got into her wardrobe. And then, you know, start chewing up some holes. So the customer was like, oh my God, I can't wear this anymore. But I still want to, you know, be responsible and give it back. So the customer comes to one of our stores and just gives it back to our take-back program. She receives a $5 coupon, and hopefully maybe one day she will come and redeem it for another beautiful wool sweater. So what it happens then, the sweater goes to, it gets packed by our store associates, and then they just send it directly to either one of our recycling centers, either the Seattle or the Irvington. It really depends. Everything from Mississippi East goes to the Irvington warehouse, or Mississippi West goes to the Seattle warehouse. So once the sweater comes to our warehouse, let's just say in New York, the sweater gets processed by our sorting team, which is like three people sorting on a daily basis this garment. So they see this beautiful wool sweater, but they immediately spot it like a moth hole. So what they do is like they throw it in the bin of damaged garments. So once that bin is full, then the local cleaners comes to our facility and picks all of the garments that need to be washed. He takes them, he cleans them, and they come garments come back to us in hangers or in bags, and the damaged garments come back to us in like blue bags, all mixed. Nothing has sorted at this point on the damaged side. So once those blue bags come back to us, then they get passed to our second sorting team, which is the sorting of the damaged inventory. So what we do is like we have a lot of different bins that they have different fiber content. So this wool, when they open this blue bag and they see this 100% wool sweater, that sweater gets thrown into the 100% wool bag. So once that bin is completely full, then they go grab that bin and then they sort these sweaters by category. First by color, then by type if it's bottoms or tops. So then this wool sweater goes into the top category, gets packed with a lot of the same sweaters with the same color, then they get processed in our system. So now we have this wool sweater in our Excel sheet, or actually we are working with a new program that is called Fishbowl. So now everything is, so after, you know, we are now in the process of designing a beautiful new felt fabric. And we know that we need sweaters. So we grab that bag of beautiful red sweaters, and then we, you know, we take them to the factory to be deconstructed, to use actually as fabric to make new fabric. So the sewers at the tiny factory deconstruct these sweaters completely. So you end up having with just like loose sleeves, loose fronts, and loose backs. So now the sweater is like, instead of being one piece, now it's like four pieces. So this sweater now goes back to the design table where it gets laid up in order for us to kind of like remove some of the trim, if there's any trims, you know, like labels and care labels, because that cannot be felted. So now after we've done that, then that gets passed to the felting area where the big felting machine, which we call the China machine because it came from China, our felting expert at this point, her name is Ashley, she start laying up all of these sweaters in colors, different materials, until she's satisfied with the design. And then she runs this fabric for like six times, which probably takes about half an hour to do all of that. And after that, you have like a piece of completely blended fabric made from approximately 20 sweaters. After that fabric is done, it really depends on the end product, but let's just say that this fabric was meant to become an art piece. So then this piece, you know, just get passed to a team to get, you know, mounted either in a wood panel, you know, so it can be hang in a museum. So once this panel is mounted, then we just ship it, and either it goes to the Cooper Hewitt or like Milan for the Salon de Milan or some other gallery in the Bowery that we have had. So that's basically the life of a sweater from design to its first owner till now the walls of a gallery or a museum.
Where are these pieces that you've have sent off to art museums featured in? Like, where can people find them?
So, okay. So we were at the Salon de Milan, but it was kind of like an exhibition for a couple of days. Then the Cooper Hewitt had a piece, and we're actually working on a piece that is going to go there right now. And then there's like, it's like all over, but right now there's no one. We're working on a couple pieces that they're going to go to a hotel.
What happens after they leave the museum?
So some of these pieces come back to us. And sometimes we sell them, or sometimes the museums acquires them.
Super cool. That was awesome.
Yeah, it's actually a really nice process.
Yeah. No, it sounds like a really cool process. You mentioned that there were some challenges and that this is obviously like both time intensive and labor intensive project to be doing this type of work. Can you walk through like what some of the early challenges were and how you guys overcame that?
I mean, one of the early challenges is the inventory was not sorted. So when you don't know your inventory, you cannot propose a solution for it. So that was 4 years ago when I started. I mean, the inventory was very loosely categorized, you know, just top bottoms. But the person working at that time on the inventory, she started very quickly realizing the needs of the projects. So the inventory is like a constant evolving and learning. So now that we have our inventory more or less established, then we're able to propose these solutions. Because once you categorize your garments, you kind of give them value. Because before that, they have really no value unless you just shred them all together and use them as wall insulator. But the point is to really categorize them to keep them at their highest value, each one of them. So that's one of the initial challenges. And the other challenge for me is to see problems as challenges, really, and accept failure and learn from it and adapt very quickly. Because, like I said before, there's no book of how to do this. So it's a constant change. You know, you propose, you adapt, doesn't work, you change. So it's like in a constant, you know, learning experience.
Yeah, no, super cool. What's the biggest problem that you see kind of like moving forward or scaling this program out?
So we have received up to 1.3 million garments. But I mean, I don't know if this is off the record or not, but like I'm just going to say it, but I'm going to confirm if you can. Because it's our 10th anniversary this year.
Yeah.
We're going to launch another campaign of asking the customers to bring back their clothes. We have only done one campaign in 2013. and we've collected 1.3 million garments, right? Mm-hmm. So we haven't actually reached out again to the customer, so we will do it again. So that number might, you know, grow extremely crazy. We are trying to prepare ourselves for that influx of inventory that we're going to have. So that's going to be a huge challenge. Yeah, I mean, I feel like in the future for us, our goal is to collect every single garment that we put out there in the world and use it as raw material to produce new garments, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a great goal to be working towards.
Yes.
And it's a good problem to have if you're, like, ramping up to receive millions of garments back because you think that yeah. you can achieve that. Because I can't imagine, like, I'm sure 1.3 million is a lot when you think about it, but in the grander scheme of how many garments are made and produced and purchased every day, it's a small percentage, right? And there's so much more that could be done.
Exactly. And that's why we open our doors to anyone who wants to come and learn and see our operations or mentor, you know. That's why we've mentored public school like Heron Preston. That's why we open our doors to H&M, you know, like all of these different companies, because Eileen, I mean, she said it and we all think is that it's not only up to us to make a real change, you know. We're just a small company in this huge industry, so we want to open our books, be totally transparent how we're doing it, and hopefully, you know, these companies will get inspired. And it's not about like how we're doing it is the right way for every company, you know. It's like we're just open our doors and then you come and you take what you think that it will make sense to your processes, to your company, to your, you know, values as a enterprise.
Yeah, for sure. What's been the craziest or like best experience that you've had so far in running this program?
Oh, I mean, I feel like everything. Well, I feel like the craziest story that I have is like how I started into this program.
Okay.
Because it was just a competition. Council of Fashion Designers of America partnered up with Eileen Fisher to bring three recently graduate students to propose a solution for this damaged inventory. So far, they only were able to resell, but they were just collecting these damaged garments and they had no idea or no plan what to do with them. So I was one of the three winners with two of my friends from Parsons, Lucy Jones and Tesley Dowd. So when we were applying for these, we actually were not told what was the goal. We thought that it was just like a, you know, 1 year mentorship at Eileen Fisher. And that for us was like super exciting, right? So probably like the first day or the first few days that we started, they brought us to this warehouse completely full with garments, mountains of garments. And they told us, girls, this is your job. Figure out a solution for these damaged garments. And we were like, oh my God. It was really scary because they told us that it had to be profitable, scalable, and beautiful. And it didn't have to be garments. It could be anything. But we were the three of us. We were like at BFA fashion design. So I feel like that's the craziest thing, because I came to Eileen Fisher not knowing that that was going to be my job. And actually, I came to Eileen Fisher not knowing that my mind was very systematic and process oriented. So, I mean, I loved the ride and, you know, it felt like continuation from school. So they gave us all of the freedom to really use the resources of the company to propose a solution for them. And I really liked it. So she offered us a job to continue doing this. So I'm the only one who stayed. I mean, Tesla and Dallas, she stayed for another year and then I'm still here and I love it.
That's awesome. So it was just a contest? What did you have to do to enter?
So you have to adapt your thesis collection to Eileen Fisher aesthetic. And funny, because my personal designer aesthetic, first of all, I'm obsessed. I'm an outerwear designer. I love outerwear, right? That's my passion. So my thesis collection was like outerwear and bright and bold and colorful and oversized, like streetwear, nothing related to Eileen Fisher. And I didn't think that I was going to win, because, you know, I started thinking, how can I tone down these to Eileen Fisher? First of all, I did not know of Eileen Fisher until this competition, because I'm from Mexico, so we don't have Eileen Fisher in Mexico. I really gave up on trying to tone it down, and because my collection also was very focused on functionality, durability, and sustainable resources. So it was very much, my values were very much aligned with Eileen Fisher, it's just not the aesthetic. So I'm like, you know what, if I win, it's because of my values and because of my research, not because of my aesthetic. And that happened. So, and they asked me this question, and I'm like, you know, why are you applying to Eileen Fisher if your aesthetic is very different? And I'm like, because we share the same values, and I get that's what got me the job.
That's awesome. What did you make your outerwear for out of? Like, did you use renewable materials or?
Well, you know what? That's funny because I did not use any renewed materials. I mean, all of my projects prior my pieces, I used like old resources. You know, I used like I reach out to previous companies from internships or places that I've worked that they can give me some of sample sale garments to remake. But for my outerwear, what I really focused more, it was like in materials that they were made from recycled materials or like hemp at that time. You know, I feel like now I see my thesis collection and I'm like, oh my God, I thought this was sustainable and responsible. I mean, like, no way, you know? but there's so much more that I would change now and so much more knowledge that I have. But at that point, I was just like, yay, this is amazing. But yeah, it was more using materials that they were made, like recycled poly, you know, with like, yeah, that was what I focused on.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than nothing for sure. But I know what you mean, like the more you learn about what is or is not sustainable and how it interacts with our systems, the more you get exposed to what is or is not better. Cool, awesome. Carmen, well, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show. It was so great hearing your story.
Oh, thank you.
I hope you enjoyed learning more about how one corporate mission can make an impact. Eileen Fisher has signed on to Vision 2020, where they will be focused on moving towards sustainable and organic materials, from sourcing to the way that fabrics are dyed, and also how they treat their employees and the people in their supply chain. Though it may be a small step, it's a step in the right direction. Anyone who has ever said that a small group of people can't make a difference, hope this made you think twice. If you're in the New York City area, there's an opportunity for you to meet Carmen in person this week. On Thursday, October 10th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Eileen Fisher store in Brooklyn at 47 Bergen Street, Carmen will be speaking on a panel about circular design. Check out all of the events on the Eileen Fisher website, it's linked in the show notes, to find out where to shop the Renew and the Resown collections. Thanks for listening, and stay green.
Thanks for talking dirty with us. Tune in next week for more Trash Talking with Eco Warriors. For more inspiration, follow us on Instagram at Trashy Beauty Co.